And joining us right now is a guy I love to talk to for the draft. You know, I pump him up all the time. He is the head poobah. He's the chief cook and bottle washer at Draft Insiders Digest, draftinsiders.com, longtime NFL scout, and a guy who puts together Draft Insiders Digest over 300 breakdowns of individual players. And the thing that I love that my guy Frank Coyle does is he gives you the Hindu theory with those breakdowns. So he compares them to a player already in the league, so it gives you a great visual. Frank Coyle from draftinsiders.com here on the Gresh Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gresh. Great to be with you again.
Well, you're the best. I appreciate you. And boy, I've had some callers today and people from Cleveland saying, oh my God, if we take Mitchell Trubisky with the number one pick, that's my ultimate nightmare. When you hear the Cleveland Browns kind of mentioned with Mitchell Trubisky, does that put your antennas up a little bit? Is this guy really worthy or even to be considered the number one pick in the draft?
I don't think so. And to tell you the truth, I haven't gotten over the Browns passing on Carson Wentz last year, and I think that's a move they're going to really regret over time. And at this point, you wonder if Trubisky will make it to the 12th overall pick. But to select him at the first overall selection is way too rich. And if they do, it's just another colossal mistake by the Browns.
I mean, imagine if the San Francisco 49ers are there, Frank, and Myles Garrett is on the board at number two. You know, from their perspective, I'm sure they'd love to have the player, but would you envision a land rush in terms of teams trying to get up to that number two pick if Cleveland passes on Garrett number one?
Yeah, absolutely. Garrett is certainly the number one overall player here. He's a guy that can hit the ground running. In either scheme, he can play up and down. He's an impact edge rusher, and they changed the game. And other than the quarterback, they're probably the most important position on the field. And Garrett is just one of those once-in-a-decade type of defensive player. You know, an LT, a Warren Sapp, you have to take him when he's there. He's a huge difference maker.
Frank, I look at the Chicago Bears, and, you know, you could make an argument that they still have a need at quarterback, but they at least have Mike Glennon. They've got someone there. I think one of their needs is safety, but it seems like at the number three pick, there isn't really anybody to jump at that spot. What's your read on the Bears and some of the options that are available to them at number three?
Yeah, they certainly have to be debating the top two safeties in the Malik Hooker from Ohio State and Jamal Adams, the kid from LSU. In fact, Jamal Adams may be the safest pick in this entire draft. He's just so NFL-ready. I certainly think John Fox has to consider him at three. But Lattimore, the corner from Ohio State, is a guy they have to give a lot of consideration. I don't feel they have to go to a wide receiver at that point. They certainly could entertain moving back. The rookie performance of the running back Howard certainly almost eliminates Fournette in a sense. So I think defensive back would be the primary focus if they stay at three, and the three aforementioned guys certainly have to be on their board.
Frank, I know you're very familiar with the way people from the Bill Parcells coaching tree build football teams. It's pretty much always inside out. Is it kind of fait accompli at number four for Jacksonville that it's either going to be an offensive lineman, and I know there aren't a ton of great offensive tackles in this draft, or maybe the best available defensive lineman? To me, it's screaming that Jacksonville's going to draft size because that's what Parcells guys do.
Yeah, they do. And Tom Coughlin, and I think what they're looking for here is they want the big back, Leonard Fournette, or it's a little too rich for an offensive lineman at this particular point. They've invested heavy the last 3 years on front seven players on defense, And as rich as this draft is, they may have an opportunity at a really quality one in round two. So I think Fournette would be the guy that could really take Bortles' game up a notch. We saw what Elliott did in Dallas. I think Fournette is a guy that can really be really change, tip the impact on the Jacksonville fortunes.
Look, that's interesting. Here's my question, Frank. Fournette at four, can you slide down and still get him, or do you think there'll be teams in the top 10 that would be looking to draft Fournette?
Yeah, you know, maybe the Jets at six. Carolina certainly at eight has entertained both Christian McCaffrey and Cook, the running back from Florida State. So I think Carolina at eight, maybe more than anyone, would really be interested in a back, and they'd love for an opportunity at Fournette.
Frank Coyle from DraftInsiders.com, Draft Insiders Digest. You go to DraftInsiders.com, you get all the information that Frank has compiled, including a recently updated second-round mock here on The Gress Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, it's interesting, Frank, in terms of building a backfield, and I want to kind of just pause on the draft for a second here because, you know, Ed, a caller a little bit earlier who mentioned the backfield with the Carolina Panthers, and he made the statement about, oh, go get four guys that can all rush for 500 yards. I don't know if it's necessarily about that, but it seems like now every team wants a backfield that is full of versatility. The possible bell cow or the bigger type carrier, the guys that you can line up wide, and then those, I'll use a, you know, because again, they played in a bunch of Super Bowls, a Kevin Falk type guy who can be a third down dude, but he can pass protect, he can run the inside draw a little bit. What are your thoughts on the way teams are now putting together backfields in the NFL?
Yeah, it certainly has changed over the last 5 to 8 years, you know, the 1-1A mix. And for the most part, if you don't have a shot at an Adrian Peterson or a Marshall Faulk, most teams are going in that direction. And, you know, we see versatility. I think that's why Christian McCaffrey will be in high demand here. I think Alvin Kamara, the junior out of Tennessee, will be a kid who will get a lot of late first-round consideration because of all the things he can do. He can line up as your third-down back, move to the slot, big enough to run inside, get to the outside. And according to how the coach creatively gets him the ball, you can get a McCaffrey the ball 15, 18 times without pounding him inside. And I think with that type of usage in a two backfield set, those guys can certainly still have a lot of impact.
What do you see the Tennessee Titans doing, not only at number five, Frank, but in that first round, considering they have two first round picks and they don't have a second rounder? Are they likely to move, or if you're them, are you taking two guys at 5 and 18 and continuing the great job that John Robinson and crew have done in building that football team?
Yeah, the Tennessee Titans are a real sleeper going into next year. And with these two picks at five, I think they're going to give a lot of consideration to one of the two safeties we mentioned, Hooker or Adams. I think the corners, Lattimore, Humphrey, will get maybe even Connolly, the other kid from Ohio State, will get a lot of consideration. And they have to feel at 18 – they can still get an edge guy on the board, a McKinley. They can also come back at 18 and have their shot at any, maybe the third or fourth corner on the board. So I see Tennessee really focusing on two defensive players here. And if they can get impact out of two defensive players, this offense is ready to gear it up. I think Tennessee is really dangerous in the AFC South this year.
Frank, has the value of safeties over the past couple of years changed? I admit, when I looked at Jacksonville, I'm thinking, okay, They like to build it with beef. I thought they were going to go in the trenches. You mentioned maybe Fournette there, but you know, we've talked about Chicago and Tennessee in terms of maybe being interested in safeties. Is it always necessarily about the player, or has the value of the safety changed now in the National Football League?
Yeah, the safety position has changed very much. The traditional box safety, because, I mean, the evolution of the tight end position has changed it very much, because the tight end is running the deep seam, and you really need a big athlete who can run, and that's why I think you see teams carrying 5-6 corners all the time, because they play so many packages. So a safety who can drop over the slot, I'll give you a player. Bubba Baker, the kid from Washington's a free safety. He's also a corner. He can drop over the slot. And because of that kind of versatility at safety, he can be a three-down guy, and he's in all your packages. And that's what they're really looking for out of a Hooker, a Bubba Baker, Jamal Adams. I think that's why those three players are definitely coming off the board in the first round.
Frank Coyle from DraftInsiders.com. He is the publisher of Draft Insiders Digest, a longtime NFL scout. His book is fantastic. You can get everything online that you want as well at DraftInsiders.com here on The Gress Show on CBS Sports Radio. Frank, I want to pull a couple of teams out of thin air here and get your thoughts on them. At number 12, the Buffalo Bills. They're in, I think, a little bit of a crossroads at quarterback. I don't know if they're really committed to a guy like a Tyrod Taylor. What do you think the Bills do at 10?
Boy, they better do something. What is it, 17 years with no playoff appearance in Buffalo? They have to be considering Trubisky, the quarterback from North Carolina, very much at this point. They've lost a few receivers in free agency. Watkins has had a lot of trouble staying healthy. You have to believe one of the wide receivers, Mike Williams out of Clemson, Corey Davis out of Western Michigan, will get a lot of play there. But they certainly have to be debating Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback out of Texas Tech. Mahomes is a kid that's flying up the charts, probably doesn't get off the board past the mid-first round area. Arizona, I know, loves him at 13, so certainly Buffalo has to be considering the top two quarterbacks this year, and you get an opportunity for one of these type of players, you better take it, because unless everything else is right, you'll continue a playoff drought.
Frank, what do you make of the Saints? I know there is a lot of rumblings about their interest in Patriots corner Malcolm Butler, who signed his restricted free agent tender. I know in New England there are some people who think that, hey, maybe the Saints will trade down from number 11, get themselves another middle-round pick, then take that slid-down first-round pick, ship it to New England, get Malcolm Butler, and then make their pick at 32 that they got from the Patriots in the Brandon Cooks trade. How do you know, if you're advising New Orleans, do you just tell them to take a corner at 11 and say to hell with getting Malcolm Butler, or do you go get that veteran-type corner and add another pick to be able to replenish your roster?
You're right. You know, this is an exceptionally deep group of corners, and I don't think Butler, because of that, commands a number one pick this year, as good as he can be, and I think he's a fair value as a second-round pick for Butler. But, yeah, at 11, the Saints have to be considering an edge rusher or the a corner. Marlon Humphrey, the kid from Alabama, would be a great fit there. Conley, the junior out of Ohio State, would get a lot of consideration. But with two number one picks, I'd be shocked if the Saints don't go two defensive players also. We've seen Drew Brees throw 5,000 yards a year, and yet this team is stuck at sub 500 right now. So defense is the mode, and I think it's the pass rusher and the cover guy would certainly warrant both picks in New Orleans.
And, Frank, lastly, the Philadelphia Eagles, they gave up the 12th pick to the Browns. They get the 14th pick from Minnesota. quite a way of quite a bit of wizardry there from Howie Roseman. I mean, which side of the ball does Philadelphia go? Do they load up on one side or the other, or do you think it's player specific for them?
You know, I think they're going to stay with their value board here. I'll give you a long shot. Forrest Lamp, the guard out of Western Kentucky, is really a plug-and-play guy. I think he'll get strong consideration there. And again, the Eagles are a team looking to improve that defensive backfield where they really took a beating last year. They lost Nolan Carroll in free agency. So a Marlon Humphrey would get a lot of consideration. They would certainly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles over the course of their top 100 picks added two cornerbacks this April.
Frank, it's going to be a lot of fun, my friend. For those that are draft nicks, get yourselves to draftinsiders.com to get your either hard copy or online copy of Draft Insiders Digest by Frank Coyle. Frank, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Definitely. Should be fun. Enjoy the draft, Gresh.